Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Is baptism really that important? People often say that baptism is just an outward sign of an inward grace, meaning it's just a symbol that you're already saved. Is that really what the Bible says? Friend, the Bible says that baptism actually stands between the sinner and salvation. Today we're going to think for just a few minutes about the importance of baptism and what baptism actually stands between for a person outside of God. First of all, the Scriptures teach that baptism stands between a person and salvation. That is, a person cannot receive the blessings and the gift of salvation offered by God unless he is baptized. Now someone says, is that really what the Bible says? Here's how clear Jesus made it. I want you to notice this passage. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Did Jesus teach that baptism stands between a sinner and salvation? Absolutely. He mentions two requirements. You've got to believe and be baptized, then you'll receive salvation. The person who doesn't even believe, he's not a candidate to be baptized. But if I believe and then I'm baptized, I'll receive the salvation that God has promised. And so it's not the case that baptism is just an outward sign that you're already saved. A person cannot be saved, according to the Scriptures, one moment before baptism. Now, someone says, well, is that the only passage? Not at all. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 teaches emphatically that baptism stands between a person and salvation. Notice these words. Peter says, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does baptism save? Someone says, oh, baptism is something you should do, something be good to do because Jesus did that. But is it something you've got to do to be saved? No, not at all. Friend, that's not what the Bible says. Peter, by inspiration, says, baptism does now also save us. If God in the Bible says baptism saves, how dare anyone say baptism is not essential unto salvation? And so what's the first thing baptism stands between? It stands between the sinner and the reception of salvation, the gift of salvation that God offers. Now let's turn our attention to a second thing that baptism stands between. Baptism also stands between the sinner and remission of sins. Can my sins be removed without baptism? Not at all. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that baptism is for the removal or the remission of sins. You see, sin is that which separates a man from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, the Lord's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, his arms not shortened that he cannot save. Well, what's the problem then? Your sins and your iniquities have hidden his face from you. All have sinned. Romans 3, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse 23. And it brings a great separation between God and man. If such is the case, then the point at which that sin is removed, I know that's something that stands between me and God and a person and the receiving of remission of sins. Well, notice what Peter says in Acts chapter 2. In the very first gospel sermon, in Acts chapter 2, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? We realize we've killed our own Messiah. What can we do to overcome this sin? Here's Peter's response. The Bible says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Does baptism stand between a sinner and the removal of sin? Peter clearly said, baptism is for, meaning looking toward unto the purpose of, the remission or the removal of sins. Friend, if baptism is for the removal of sin, then it stands between me and my sins being removed in the sight of God. It's not a flippant matter. It's not something I can take with a lackadaisical approach. I've got to see the importance and seriousness of baptism. Well, let's think about another man and his importance in conversion and how baptism stood between him and the removal of sins. That man was first known as Saul. Saul was persecuting and wreaking havoc on the church. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. God in His divine plan had chosen to use this man. And in Acts chapter 9, Jesus appears to Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And Saul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord says to Saul, you go in the city and it'll be told you what you must do. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Well, what was that must? What was it that stood between Saul and a right relationship with God? Turn your attention to Acts chapter 22. And I want you to notice what Ananias says in verse 16. The Scripture says, Ananias said, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What was the purpose of Saul being baptized? He had to arise, but he also had to be baptized and wash away his sins. Now, are we saying there's something mystical or magical in the water? No, that's not the idea. Colossians 2, verses 11 and 12 says it's faith in the working of God. God said to do it, I obey God and do it, and as a result, God gives me the reception of my sins being washed away. But notice, Saul had his sins washed away at the point of baptism. Friend, you cannot be saved without being baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. You know, I often hear people say, all you've got to do to be saved is call on the name of the Lord. Did you know Acts 22:16 tells us how to do that according to the Scripture? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. That's how you call on the name of the Lord. I don't call on the name of the Lord by just looking up into heaven and saying, God, save me. I call on God's name by seeking His help, by asking for God for salvation and obeying what God says in the Scripture by looking to His Word and doing what the Bible teaches. Now let's notice another principle concerning baptism and what it stands between. What else does baptism stand between? Baptism also stands between the sinner and being in the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, we live in a world that is confused as it relates to the Lord's church. There are not a multitude of religious groups that are all right with God and all going to the same place. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church. There is one body, Ephesians 1, 21 through 23. That body is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4, verse 4. And one day, Jesus is coming back to receive that church and take it to live with God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24 through 26. If that's the case, what is it that stands between the sinner and being in the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, friend, the answer again is baptism. I cannot be in the kingdom or the body of Christ unless I obey what God says concerning baptism. Look at Jesus' discourse with Nicodemus. Jesus says in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, and Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If the kingdom is the church, Matthew 16, 18 and 19, then Jesus clearly taught you cannot get in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ without being born again. Well, what's that mean? Nicodemus is kind of confused. He doesn't know. Lord, do you mean I've got to go back in my mother's belly and be born natural birth a second time? Jesus says, no, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. You can't get in the kingdom of God. How are we born by the Spirit? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, we're born again by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Spirit's Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. How then are we born by water? When we hear that Spirit's Word, the Word of the Holy Spirit, given by the inspiration of the apostles, it tells us, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, to be born of water is clearly a picture of the new birth that occurs at the point of baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. You know, Paul discussed this idea in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, and here's what he said. The Apostle Paul said, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. By one baptism, by the baptism of Ephesians 4, verses 3 and 4, we're all baptized into the one body. Remember, there's just one church, and the only way to get into that is to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And Acts 2:47 says this, those who gladly received His word and were baptized, the Lord added to the church daily. And so baptism is essential. It's not just something you ought to do, something that you ought to do to imitate the example of Jesus, not just something good to do to show you're saved. It's essential to salvation. Now let's think for just a minute about God's plan of salvation. Jesus made it abundantly clear that to be saved, we first must hear the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once I've heard that Word, then I must believe that He is God's Son. Unless you believe that I am He, Jesus said, you'll surely die in your sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. Having been convicted of Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior, I then must repent of sin. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Having repented, I must make that good confession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And having confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, I must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And so we ask you today, is baptism standing between you and being a child of God? You and being forgiven of your sins? Maybe somebody taught you that baptism wasn't essential. Friend, you've seen today that the Bible makes it abundantly clear. Baptism is for the remission of sins. It is for salvation. Won't you obey God's plan of salvation? Friend, we want you to know today that God loves you and that we love you. Don't let baptism stand between you and receiving the gift of God. Obey God, be baptized for the remission of your sins so that you can know you're in the kingdom of God and you're on that road. Won't you think on these things as we continue to think about God's will and His love in our life?